Bible colleges and seminaries yield powerful influence in our world because they prepare and launch the leaders who impact generations to come. Well, today on Insight for Living, we have the privilege of hearing Chuck Swindoll address an audience of future pastors at his alma mater, Dallas Theological Seminary. His reflective message represents the culmination of more than 60 years in pastoral ministry, and the wisdom shared today applies to us all. Chuck titled his message, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Seminaries. Introducing Chuck is good friend and campus pastor, Dr. Joe Allen.
Chuck Swindoll has devoted his life to the accurate, practical teaching and application of God's Word and His grace. A pastor at heart, and by the way, you don't have to go very far to notice that, when you're in line to speak to him and he's dealing with one person, you'll be amazed at his focus. It's as if you're the only person in the world, and I've experienced that. It's a tremendous thing. It's a gift, but he works at it as well. He has a pastor's heart. You'll see it. Chuck has served as senior pastor to congregations in Texas, Massachusetts, and California, and since 1998, he has served as the founder and senior pastor teacher of Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas. His leadership at Dallas Theological Seminary as fourth president and now as chancellor, and soon to be chancellor emeritus, is that it?
I don't know.
So that's got to be it, if he doesn't know. I mean, has helped prepare and equip a new generation for ministry. He does love the seminary, and I love that about him. Chuck and Cynthia, his partner in life and ministry, have four grown children, 10 grandchildren, 7 great-grandchildren. Amen. Would you please help me in welcoming Dr. Chuck Swindoll?
I wasn't trying to be smart when I said I didn't know. It just, I can't keep up with all the stuff. My favorite line is when I told my grandson that I was chancellor here. I thought that sounded great. He said to me with a frown, wasn't Hitler a chancellor? So I'm kind of careful what I tell people nowadays. You know, we recognize you who are visiting today, and we're so pleased to have you. Really, a seminary is a faculty, a great library, a philosophy or a statement of its faith. And then from then on, it's the blessing of God that is at work in and through the lives of those who teach and those who learn. I kind of want to talk to you today rather than preach. I've got a little different style of message I want to bring. So I will begin with a different approach than I normally begin with. Back in 1999, I bought a 1928 Model A. Okay? I'd always looked at those little classic cars that different friends of mine had, and I sort of wondered what it would be like to have one. And as I recall, I didn't say much to Cynthia about getting it. That was the first mistake that I had, but she was fine with it. But it was a cute little thing. Naturally, it was black. Ford used to say you can have any color you want, just so it's black. So that was a nice, shiny black with bright yellow wheels and wide white walls on these little thin tires. Had a massive engine in it of 24 horsepower. You who don't know much about cars wouldn't know what the significance of that is, but that's a little over what's on a nice size lawnmower. So it's a tiny little engine, And it's just rough as a cob on the back roads of the Dallas area. But it was a little convertible, had a rumble seat, which is a pop-open seat in the back behind the two seats on the front. And it was really a dandy of a car, and just was a real eye-catcher. And it was totally inefficient. It really was. It didn't have a place to plug in a cell phone. It ran hot all the time, even though I tried my best to wash out that radiator over and over. It just decided it would always run hot. Had poor gas mileage. It had no power steering, no power brakes, no power windows. It was no navigation system, of course, no GPS, and no automatic transmission. It just was a cute little jalopy, you would call it. And I drove it to the school on a few occasions, but mainly I got it for the grandkids. We together named it Gramps. In fact, of all things, I was surprised, but that personalized license plate had not been taken. So I got Gramps for the license plate. It was terrific. In a day of efficiency and all that goes with it, and I made a list of what's going on now, our world of commercial jets and space age stuff, where people are even talking about traveling to Mars, which I could never quite figure out why that would be fun, and a day of teleconferencing and voice activated computers and word processing and podcasting and Skype and all of that. Here is this old Model A. It's just it's sort of a touch of nostalgia in a world that's trying, almost tripping over itself to stay ahead of our times. And here is this little car scooting around on the road, attracting attention from various people as I would pass them, or more often than not, as they would pass me. No heater in it in the winter. You'd freeze your buns off in the thing as a cold winter of Dallas would come. And it occurred to me that it would have made a fabulous graduation gift for our first graduating class. Dallas Seminary began in 1924, so that Model A would have been about $400-something, maybe if you got a few extras, $500, to buy it new right off the assembly line, and that would have been a big deal back then. We celebrate our 95th anniversary as a school this year, if my math is correct. And it occurred to me while I was thinking about my little car that it is easy for a school to cling to its past. There's nothing in the world wrong with honoring our heritage. There's everything right about that. Bible is filled with places and even stones of remembrance and the value of giving honor to whom honor is due. If you happen to choose to come to this school, you won't be long before you'll hear the stories related to former presidents and former faculty members and historical events that took place as we got underway. It was always a thrill for me when I came, beginning in My first year was 1959, and so Dr. Chafer had been dead 7 years. I never knew the founding and first president of the school. My era was under Dr. John Walford, whose time here was a very significant period of time. But it occurred to me that we can be so preoccupied as we cling to our past that we, like that old Model A, can become quaint, a study in nostalgia. But when schools do that, they become, without meaning to, dusty monuments and sort of like quaint museums. Inefficient reflections. I think maybe the worst title would be institutional relics. I've never felt that Dallas Seminary, as much as we respect our past, ever wanted to be that. So you have no fear if you're thinking about our school, thinking it's going to always be looking back. We will look back, and we should look back. In fact, the book we revere, we certainly don't worship it, but we study it seriously, pore over it in virtually every class. We will mention it, or we will spend time during the entire class digging into it. Ancient book. In fact, it's criticized by the cynics of our day for being ancient, as if ancient means out of touch. But you and I know that God's word is alive and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. And it's changed your life. It has certainly changed mine, still changing it. I can go to certain scriptures and I can say, because of what is written there, my life took another direction from this ancient book called the Bible, whether Old or New Testament. So we love God's word here, and we never apologize for that. However, we desire to have a balance. I came across a quote from John R.W. Stott that's worth reading. It's very easy to be faithful if you do not care about being contemporary. And it's also easy to be contemporary if you don't bother to be faithful. The challenge, obviously, is to be both. The late Dr. Howard Hendricks, when his shadow crossed our paths as students years ago and marked our lives, sort of reshaped that statement by Stott and put it in these words. I like his words even better. It is no challenge to be biblical if you don't care about being relevant. And it's no challenge being relevant if you don't care about being biblical. But to be both biblical and relevant, addressing the issues of today's world and culture, that's our challenge as a theological institution. Very well stated. To quote the words of Jesus out of Matthew 9, I've got my Bible open to verses 16 and 17, that familiar word picture you'll recall. No one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and a worse tear results. Then the next verse reads, nor do we put new wine in old wineskins, which was in those days the wine bottle, but it was in skins. Yeah, otherwise, the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. Hopefully, we are engaged in doing that. And you know, I mean that in the broader sense, every year. Every year, hopefully, this faculty will take a fresh look at your notes, your course that you're teaching, realizing that another year has passed, and perhaps there is the need to adjust or adapt the way you're going to say that or teach that so that this generation can get it for our times. That's constantly the challenge of every pastor on the planet. I am not ministering to 1959 people, though some of the people I minister to are that old. I am ministering to millennials, to teenagers, to people who are just now learning who Jesus is, to those who are just discovering what church is about, who have no clue what the songs are that we've sung for centuries, or even the new ones that are being composed. To them, the life of faith is a little weird. And it is the task of the one who delivers the message to make sure it is solidly biblical and at the same time ever relevant. So you don't have to decode what's being said. I love the honest statement that one of my profs said, if people are bored when you preach, it's not their fault. I think that's a very good way to put it. It is your problem, especially if they're regularly bored. Everybody's a little bored sometime because you're preoccupied or you're sleepy or whatever. But if you are regularly bored and thinking about, why in the world are we still coming to this church? There's something wrong with the one at the pulpit or the one at the microphone. It is the task of the one communicating to make sure that what is being said is right on the sharp edge of where the listener is living. And I'm going to tell you something that is a challenge. You cannot stay up in today's world and keep driving a Model A. You got to see that's sort of a fun little hobby that you do for a while and you sell it and you have the memory of it, but that's not, you can't keep up. And so in light of all of that, I have a very different, like I said earlier, I have a very different message I want to leave with you. And I rarely ask you to do this, but today I'm going to do it. If you've got a place where you can write something down, I want you to be ready to write down 7 statements. I'm going to call my talk 7 Habits of Very Effective Seminaries. With all due apologies to Stephen Covey, who has written about 7 habits of highly effective people and highly effective families. I want to talk about 7 habits of highly effective seminaries, and I want to give them to you in no particular order of importance. Remember, I said that. And I could give you 17, but I can't. And I could give you three or four, but there needs to be more. So I'm going to go with seven to stay with the idea of the way Covey's written his book. So here they are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'd like you to write them down. And I'd like you, if you come to this school, to check it out, to see if we are on target in these areas as best you can tell. And you could tell some of them a lot easier than others, unless you're involved in the warp and woof of the administration and all, but much of it you'll be able to tell as a student. Okay, here we go. Number one, highly effective seminaries are focused on what is essential. Highly effective seminaries, let's even use the word stay focused on what is essential. Effective seminary, under that, I'm just going to ramble a little and just kind of fill in the blanks here. We don't try to be all things to everyone. We can't be. We don't try to compete with some other school and outdo that school so people will come here to this school. That's not an essential. Competition is not an essential part of our commitment. I find that when you do that, you become 5 miles wide and about 6 inches deep. And you miss it. We should be able to state our mission in one sentence. By the way, I got a copy of the catalog, and I turned to the mission statement. There it is. Okay, here it is. The mission of Dallas Theological Seminary as a professional graduate level school is to glorify God by equipping godly servant leaders for the proclamation of his word and the building up of the body of Christ worldwide. Ought to be able to state that, ought to be able to prove that, ought to be able to model that. That's essential. That's what we're about. Ought to be doing that every day we're in existence. Every course ought to keep that in mind. That's an essential. I could even reduce it to the motto that is on our emblem, preach the word. Our goal isn't to study the word, it's to preach the word. It takes study to preach it well. But the goal is to deliver the goods. Not to sit around in groups for the rest of our lives and study deeper, deeper, and deeper. You certainly will want to study, and you want your study to be deep enough so that you do dig into the treasures. And I'm going to tell you, from years of experience, congregations will love you for your hard work in the study. But they'll appreciate the fact that you give attention to the delivery of the message and delivering it well. Saying it carefully, articulating it with right words, preaching the word. It was drilled into us as a student. We should be clear about what we believe and stand there regardless of whether it's politically correct or culturally acceptable. Often when I see something is politically incorrect, I like it even more. And I find that much of the message is politically incorrect, and I do not care. And I'm cultivating the life of a church that doesn't care either. We have an essential set of responsibilities, and pleasing our culture is not one of them.
Chuck Swindoll's subject today is Seven Habits of Highly Effective Seminaries, and this is Insight for Living. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Chuck's brand new 6-part series was originally presented to seminary students in training for full-time ministry, and there's much more teaching ahead, so please be sure to join us again next time. In the event you missed any portion of this series, remember you can easily catch up by listening to the programs at insight.org. There you can also copy and paste the link in order to share Chuck's message with a friend. At Insight for Living Ministries, we understand that a growing segment of our audience consists of those who serve a local flock as the shepherd, or those who volunteer in some capacity of church leadership. And we take great delight in knowing that this daily program helps equip and cultivate godly leaders. To that end, we appreciate your contribution to support this cause. As someone who gives voluntary donations, you're helping us strengthen the local church. And as I say thank you, I'm thinking specifically of our monthly companions. These are people who come alongside us with consistent monthly gifts. And if you're among them, thanks for giving, sometimes sacrificially, so others can benefit from Chuck's Bible teaching, just as you have. To join their ranks, we invite you to become a monthly companion today. Signing up is simple, and you choose the amount that's best for you. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be easier to follow the simple instructions at insight.org/monthly companion. To say thank you to our first-time monthly companions today, we'd like to send you a brand new book Chuck has written. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? Each of the 12 chapters in this book addresses a specific problem, such as pain, loss, and loneliness. Again, when you become a monthly companion today, request the book called What If God Has Other Plans? If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Chuck Swindoll concludes his brand new series called Straight Talk for Seminary Students, Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Seminaries, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.